And so that's cool. But you know, I did read about this guy who wanted a boat more than anything. How many guys you ever want a boat more than anything? When I was at Fountain, I was always told the two greatest days in a boat owner's life is the day they buy it and the day they sell it. And after I went to work at Fountain Power Boats, those guys were paying some people even paid $1.5 million for some of those boats. And that's a lot of greenbacks. Amen. You had to save up a whole lot of S&H green stamps. I didn't realize I was so full of air. Y'all did. That's awesome. But this guy wanted a boat more than anything. So his wife kept refusing. So as a good husband would do, he bought one anyway. And then the fight started. He said, I tell you what, she was arguing. So I said, I tell you what, in the spirit of compromise, why don't you name the boat? Being a good sport, she accepted. So when her husband went to the dock for his maiden voyage, the name on the side that he saw painted on the side was For Sale. Yeah. So we're gonna talk today for a few minutes on storms. We've been having a whole lot of storms lately. We've got Sierra Bonner's going to Texas with her college group. We got people in Aurora that are sending stuff down. I keep hearing about all these people that are going through so much trying to get stuff to them. And if you watch, you'll see a bunch of power trucks all the time. They're traveling in groups, and you'll see them especially traveling on Highway 17, and they're going to the south. So you know what they're doing? They're going to take care. And I even heard that Washington, North Carolina, sent two of their electric trucks to go take care of business down there in Florida. Somebody said they weren't doing anything anyway, so. Y'all didn't hear that up here. All right, so here we go. No, really, I think it's commendable. All those trucks are going down there to help out. But when the bottom drops out, how many's ever had the bottom just drop out? I mean, you're going along, and you're already struggling, and you're already having a hard enough time, and here you go. The bottom just drops out. So we're going to, let me get my Bible. I'm going to read from the real Bible. My daddy says that the electronic Bible is not the real Bible. My daddy told me if it don't have leather on it, it's not the real Bible. And I said, well, what about bonded leather, daddy? What about a paperback? He said, well, son, if it don't have covers on it, it's not the real Bible. So let's get the Bible out. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Stand for the reading of the word. Matthew chapter 14. I'm excited about today. I really am. Like I said, I've got so many things coming flying in my head right now, and I don't want to overdo it, but I don't want to underdo it. And so I'm asking God to help me stay on track and not chase too many squirrels and not go down too many rabbit holes, but just to go ahead and take care of business for today. You got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say on me? All right. I know why Benny don't have his Bible, because Barbara weren't there to tell him to get it. That's right. Oh, you got yours. Oh, you got one. Oh, I thought you said on me. Oh, okay. That's a good. That's a man for you. He knows how to improvise and overcome. There you go. All right. Ready? And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Notice, just stop right here for just a minute. As he sends them out into the unknown, he goes up to talk to the known. Wow. Some of y'all are having some unknowns in your life right now, and you're wondering, what in the world's going on? How in the world did I get in this shape? How in the world did it come to this? Why am I doing now? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I getting where I'm getting? What's going on in my life? And you're thinking, I'm in so much unknown. But why? You're in the unknown. Just know this. This is our example. Jesus is going up on the mountain to talk to the known for you. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus walked unto them, walking on the sea. Let me just tell you something. They're in the middle. They're in the middle of the sea now. They're in a big, bad storm. They're in the middle of the sea. I'm pretty sure when you're in the middle, you're thinking, should I go back? Should I go forward? Should I go back? Should I go forward? If they were too close to the land the other way, they'd go forward. If they were closer to this land, they would go back. But they're in the middle. And so now there's a decision having to be made. Do I go forward? Do I go back? Or Lord, do we just sink right here? Amen? So Jesus in the fourth watch of the night comes unto them walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter, let me just check for a minute, stop for a second. I like the actual Greek here. Because in the Greek, he doesn't say, "It is I." He still says it, but I'm going to say how he says it. He doesn't just say, "It is I, be not afraid." In the original language, he says, "I am. Be not afraid. I am. Stop being afraid." I can't say that enough. He said, "I am." Who's I am? God. He's walking on the water. He says, "I am. Stop being afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Beginning to sink. How long does it take a person to sink if he's standing on top of the water? If I took you out of the side of the boat and said, "Okay, stand on the water," how long would it take you to sink? So he's beginning to sink. He's got just enough time. He ain't got time to get famous. He ain't got time to get fancy. He ain't got time to get on his knees. He ain't got time to try to figure out a fancy prayer. He just said, "Help!" There we go. Amen. And he said, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were there in the ship worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Father, stretch forth your hands away. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you're alive and well, and we know, God, that all things are possible with you, Lord. We know, God, that life hits us sometimes seemingly below the belt. And when it seems like everything's falling apart, we have to understand that many times when it seems like it's falling apart to us, you're actually putting it all together in the right way. And I thank you for that. Lord, I ask you today, help us to get out of your way so that you can do a work in our life today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, I want everybody to say this. I just want you to hold your hands up and say, "Lord, help me to get out of your way so you can do a work in me today." One more time. "Lord, help me get out of the way so that you can do a work in me today." In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Give somebody a high five, low five, no five. Give them 4 1/4, 4 1/2, whatever you got. Amen. So now, as we start looking at this scripture here, as we start paying attention to Matthew chapter 14, this just a couple, look at this. Look, can you imagine this guy? He's going down. I mean, down. He's got time to say nothing but "Help!" Wouldn't it be nice if he would say, "Well, he stood up and he said, 'Thou art the Holy God, and thou art powerful, and thou got everything together, and Lord.'" No, help! Some of us in here need to try to quit figuring out how to come up with a prayer to pray to God and just say, "Help!" Some of y'all would get some help if you quit trying to figure out other ways. Just say, "Help! He knows what's going on." Amen. So here he goes. Here he is. So here's just a couple of slides from last week. We're going right into this week. This passage speaks of unstable times. His vision was obscured. A footing was definitely unsure. And the security was insecure. And they were going through a trouble collectively, the ship. And Peter, he was individual. So some of us today, collectively, you may be going through something with your family. Like if somebody's marriage is in trouble in a family, that person or those two people, he's an individual or she's an individual. They're trying to work through this problem, but they don't understand when that marriage suffers, everybody in that family suffers. The same way, maybe on your job, you've heard something, a rough thing going on at the job, and all of a sudden now everybody's in trouble. But then they come to your department and start talking to you about, you know, there may be a possible layoff. Now it's collectively But now it's moved to individually. So there's a lot of us in here today. We have more than one collective storm. We have more than one individual storm. So here's what's going on now. Literally, the bottom had dropped out. He's sinking. There is no bottom. He's falling down. So there was two storms that day. The circumstances on the outside and this disrupted peace on the inside. And here's the last slide from last week. We're going to go straight in to how God is going to take care of us. Amen. So watch this. Watch this now. When we're in these kind of times like this, it's useless to focus on the unsure things. That's the problem I see when I'm counseling people. When I find somebody's really upset and somebody's really full of fear, I find out one of the reasons why is because they are focusing on the wrong things. They're focusing on things they can do absolutely nothing about. They're focusing on things that they cannot take care of on their own. And instead, they're focusing on that is bringing a terror in their life. And I have to get them to start looking at, no, don't focus on that. Focus on God. God can take care of that. You can't. God can. Get your eyes off of you. Get your eyes off of the storm and get your eyes on Jesus. Peter is a very, very strong example because as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was doing the impossible. Some of you in here are actually doing the impossible. If I'd have asked you last year, could you have done what you've done this year? Could you have put up with what you put up with this year? Could you have defeated what you had defeated this year? If I asked you last year, you'd say no. And I say, well, how'd you do it? Because you did the impossible. You say, because I kept my eyes on Jesus. Amen? So what happens is you focus on the unsure things, and here it goes. You got to focus on the sure things. So there's five things that were sure things in this scripture. You may can come up with more, and if you do, that's fine. Bring them to me, and I'll add it to this outline. Amen. But there was five things that were these assurances when the bottom dropped out. Number one, this is where we stopped last week. Number one. This is hard for a lot of people. Jesus brought them there. I hear some people on the television talking and talking about if you're serving God, you're not going to have any problems. I literally heard them say that if you're actually having problems, it's because you don't have any faith. What? If you had faith, you wouldn't get sick. What? Really? And then I heard one person say, when it says that you may have to struggle, when Jacob struggled all night with the angel, sometimes we have to struggle in our problems too. But it's not literally, God's not hurting us or allowing us to be hurt. God just wants us to pray through the night, and he'll take, what? I actually wanted to call the television station just a couple weeks ago and say, can you do me a favor? Can you please take this heretic off the air? And good sense kicked in, and I said, I'll leave it alone. Maybe he'll pray through, and God will help. But anytime you think that if you're going through something, Jesus had nothing to do with it, wrong. My children, I'm very proud of my children, very proud of my children. My children are hard workers. My children get it done. Y'all can brag on y'all some other time. I'm talking now. I got the mic. I'm going to brag on mine. All right. But it wasn't easy. Believe me, it wasn't easy. DC, and I told you this, I think it was last week, or week before last, DC told Bethany, he said, the best thing Daddy could have ever done to me was back off. He said, when Daddy backed off, he said, Daddy coached me and got me to where I could take care of myself, and then he backed off. And he saw me getting in trouble, and sometimes he stopped me, and sometimes let me get into trouble. He said, because then he knew that he could grow when he got in that trouble. Then I was sitting there watching him. I was watching. If he needed me, I was right there. But I stayed back as far as I could. And many times I made him think I wasn't even paying attention. But I was. It's like the time Daniel had this bully in school. This bully kept coming in the bathroom and trying to whip up on him every morning before school. And I said, Daniel, here's Daddy. Daniel, you got to stand up to him. If you don't stand up to him, he's going to fight you the rest of your school career. Now stand up to him, son. He said, but Daddy, he's bigger than I am. I said, I didn't ask you that. Son, stand up to this young man. he'll leave you alone. He said, but Daddy, I said, no buts. Are you tired of it? He said, I'm tired of it, Dad. I said, well, stand up to him. He said, okay, Dad. Had a little rocky speech. And when he walked away, I said, DC? He said, yes, sir. I said, can you be in that bathroom tomorrow morning? He said, Daniel didn't know this. And so DC said, yeah. I said, just keep an eye on things. And without him knowing it, just help him. So Daniel comes up. DC, he don't have any idea DC's in the bathroom. That bully comes up, starts talking to Daniel. And he's all up on Daniel like this. And Daniel said, he says, leave me alone. And the bully said, why? And about that time, DC walked out of the bathroom stall from behind Daniel. Daniel didn't even know it. And DC went. And the bully looked at Daniel and went, yes, sir, I'm sorry. It'll never happen again. DC walked back in the stall. Daniel went. He come home that day and said, Daddy, I did like you said. I stood up to him. He said, and he said, I can't believe it, Daddy. He just got right down. He'd seen a ghost. I said, I thought to myself, he did. It was a DC. He saw his own ghost because DC was going to kill him. Let me tell you something. There's times where God lets you get in trouble. He will even make the trouble so that you can grow. God doesn't want a bunch of mamby-pambies out here trying to help somebody that's never been through anything. Amen? God wants strong men. Men! Men! When I think about the Marines, they didn't take you out there and say, no, if we hurt your feelings today, let us know. When you're in boot camp, they say, can we get you some more cake? Can we take care of things for you? Is that chair comfortable? Can we take... No! They tore you down and built you back up. God allows trouble in our life to build us stronger than we were before the trouble came. The Bible says Jesus brought them there because immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go ahead of them to the other side. Well, he dismissed the crowd. This is no accident. It's no blind move. Look, Jesus knew the storm was coming. He already knew the storm was coming. He didn't go, oh no, I'll send them out there and here it goes. There's a storm. I had no idea. I should have watched Channel 9 before I sent them out there. No, he knew the storm was coming. But he also knew those guys, their mind was fixated on the miracle of God. They had just seen about 10 or 15,000 people fed from 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and if they're not careful, they're going to be like the rest of the crowd. It just follows them for what they can get out of him. And God doesn't want us to follow him for what we can get out of him. God wants us to follow him see what he can get out of us. Amen. Powerful people. We're powerful people. Powerful people. Look at somebody and say, we're powerful. There's times I may be pitiful. You know what? There's somebody said, you look pitiful. I said, yeah, but I'm still powerful. Amen. Praise the Lamb of God. The opportunity was present. The storm was about to strike, and it was test time. Matter of fact, have you ever had a test? Have you ever had a teacher give you a test and leave the room? He gave him the test. As far as they knew, he was not even there. He was upstairs talking to the Father. Amen. Up in the mountain. So first, Jesus brought them there. Some of y'all right now are going, Lord, I don't know why I'm in this mess. And God says, I do. I do. Maybe it's because you couldn't learn it any other way. Linton, if you look up the family crest of Linton, you'll see that it's got the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. The family crest is Scottish, and there's the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and then there's a big old hard head right down there. And God knows, in order for me to get something, he's got to let me go through something. Poor DC, bless his heart, I've let him go through more stuff when he's coming up because he is just like his daddy. Amen? So he's tough now. So watch. Number two. This is so awesome. Look at that. That's Jesus, the great high priest. Wow. Look at this. Jesus sought God for them there. Number one, when you're going through something, when the bottom drops out, remember this, when the bottom drops out, there is times Jesus sent you in that situation. He put you there. Number two, if he puts you there, he's praying for you while you're going through what you're going through. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:14-16, it tells us, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He knows what we're going through. He can be touched because he's been there. You know, my latest psych class was about human communication. And talking about in order for a message to get across, it helps a whole lot if the message to get across when the person that's bringing the message to the sender is sending a message to the receiver. When the receiver is going through something, it comes out a whole lot better if the messenger has been through it and overcome it. Then it gives his message power. The same way. You know what? Didn't need a psych class for that. Jesus Christ lets us know that. You know what? When you've been through something, you can sure tell somebody something when they're going through what they're going through. Amen? So, number one, Jesus sent them. You can stand on that. Number two, if he sends you, he's praying for you. I like his prayer. Luke 21 and 32 and 33. Let's look at this. Luke 22, verse 21, 23. Behold, the hand of him who's now engaged in betraying me is with me on this table, for the man is going to, blah, 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 blah. Let's go a little further down here. Got to go rather for 31. Simon, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, that he may sift all of you like grain. But I prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen, and establish your brethren. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. But Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, before a single cock shall crow this day, you will three times utterly deny that you know me. So, watch this. Here's Jesus' prayer when he prays for us. First, this prayer right here is a prayer of power. Because he says, I'm praying that your faith fail not. Also, it's a prayer of power that we don't give up and turn back in the middle of what we're going through. They're middle way of the sea. They can turn back and come back. I'm trying to think of the mountain. There's a mountain somewhere that's full of snow. And every year, these mountain climbers try to climb. And it's a very rugged mountain. And about halfway up, you got to go up. You're exposed to the elements. It's very bad. It's a hard way to go. You're in your own tent trying to stay during this stuff, and there's a cabin halfway up the mountain. If they can make it to that cabin, they can get hot food, they can get rest, they can even get warm, they can have all these luxuries given to them. Then after they've had a little moment of relaxation, they can get back and finish climbing the mountain. The problem is, they said 90% of the people, when they get to that cabin, they stay longer than they should, and then they go back down. And the man that owned the cabin says, without fail, when the 10% gets up to keep climbing that mountain, the 90% have decided to go back down. They watch out the window as that 10% climbs the mountain. And it says they can't take their eyes off of them. They watch them till they climb out of sight. And many times there's tears in these guys' eyes as they watch them climb that mountain. Wow. Are you the 90%? Are you the 10%? Keep on going. Keep on going. So watch. This prayer right here is a great example again, because it's power that his faith fail not. It won't give up, turn around. You're almost there. It's prophetic. He's going to have a long or short time of weakness. But when you are converted, meaning that you're going to be weak. How many here think you never get weak? How many never mess up? How many here just every time you got it all together, you know exactly what to say, when to say it, how to say it? If y'all look around, there's no hands going up. We all have our moments. Every day, I wind up apologizing to somebody because I get that bad disease that I get sometimes called constipation of the brain, diarrhea of the mouth. None of y'all get that, do you? When you're converted, I mean, you're going to have a moment when you're going to be weak. But don't worry. I know about that already, too. You're not surprising me. I hear people all the time say, well, I let God down. Let me tell you something. You can let yourself down. You can disappoint yourself. You can disappoint everybody around you. But there's one person you can never disappoint. And that's God. Why can't you disappoint God right here? Look, I'm pretty sure Peter was disappointed when he had that moment of weakness, when he failed. I'm pretty sure that he was disappointed in himself, and I'm pretty sure he felt God was disappointed in him. But guess what? God already told him. Jesus said, when you're converted, go strengthen the brethren. He already said it. It's going to come a time when you're going to fall, but I already know that, and I've already made arrangements to take care of business. I've already prayed for you. And number three, it's a prayer of protection. See, you're going to be weak, but it's going to be temporary because you're going to be converted. And when you're converted, it's not just going to be a conversion, but it's going to be a powerful, productive conversion because you're going to go strengthen the brethren. You know what I like about this? When you see God like this is love on its knees. Amen? Love on its knees. God is such an awesome, awesome, powerful, powerful man. So number three. Number one, God sent them there. Number two, God prayed for them there. Number three, God caught them there. The Bible says he came to his own. I was studying the Hebrew, and I was studying Samson. And the line of Timnath came after Samson. And something that really struck me that day, and has struck me ever since, and it's something that really, really, really hit me hard was, Samson, obviously he weren't walking around strong like that all the time, and he weren't a big bad dude. It's obvious because everybody want to know where his great strength come from. So we see Samson portrayed as Mr. Universe. No, he weren't Mr. Universe. He probably looked like any of us in this room right now. Because they kept saying, well, where's he getting his strength from? Why is he so strong? Well, the Bible says when the lion came out, the lion pounced on him. And as the lion pounced on him, he's on the journey. God knows he's on this journey. He's going about doing some business. God knows what's getting ready to happen. God's got all this, knows all of this ahead of time. But the Bible didn't say God anointed him as he was walking. The Bible says as the lion jumped on him, he was filled with the Spirit. In other words, the Bible says that we have a high priest but cannot be touched with feelings like ours, but he's there to help us in our time of need. Means the same thing, just in the nick of time, exactly when you need it. Matter of fact, it's at your darkest hour. I'm telling you, when it's the worst possible time, you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do this. How many's ever tried to figure something out, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and when things couldn't get any worse, all of a sudden, bam, all of a sudden you thought of the answer. That's God. How many times are you trying to get through something on your own strength, and at the very last possible minute, all of a sudden you get this strength, and you can't understand why? Mothers have picked cars off of their sons. Why? The Holy Spirit, he may not come when I want him, but he'll be there when I need him. Amen? God knows how to take care of business. Amen? So he gave him victory over his greatest fear. Amen? Now what was his greatest fear? His greatest fear was that he was going to be swallowed up by that raging sea. Some of y'all right now, you think what you're going through is going to kill you. Maybe not physically, but spiritually and emotionally. And the proof is that you're not feeling so strong in the Lord right now because of the stuff you're going through. Matter of fact, you kind of feel like you might even not even want to come today, but you thought, I'll give them one more try. And you're here, and you're thinking, just like Peter, I've been walking on the water, and now all this stuff that's surrounding me is starting to overwhelm me. I'm starting to get hidden in it. It's starting to sink in it. It's starting to get the best of me. And as it gets the best of me, I'm thinking, where is God anyway? Is it even worth it? But you got to know something, just in the nick of time, I'm telling you, God will reveal himself. He come walking on the water. Let me ask you a question. Just quickly, let me just ask you. I just want you to stop for just a second. Everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes. What is your greatest fear today? Right now. Matter of fact, you say, I'm not sure what my greatest fear is. I can tell you what it is. For an assurity. When I ask you that question, the first thing came to your mind. First thing that came to your mind is your greatest fear. You say, well, how you know that? Because that's what was pumping in your heart. That's what was consuming your heart. That's what was consuming your mind. And when I said what I said, immediately you thought of that predicament. And when you thought about that predicament, that's what you think is going to kill you, going to take you down. But I'm here to tell you something. All of this stuff that's overcoming you, Jesus is walking on top of. He's going to catch you. He's going to be out there. You can depend on him. You know, I like the way God does it. When Jesus was in the garden, it was called the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane actually means the place of the squeeze. When David was in the cave of Adullam, the cave of Adullam means the place of the squeeze. He's on the run for his life. He's got nothing. And God sends him his mighty men, and they're all in trouble too. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the squeeze, the wine press, the place of the squeeze. And while he's there, he is hurting so bad that he's sweating drops of blood. And science tells us that there's times when people, when they get so emotionally and mentally distraught, it is possible that the very capillaries on the end, on the outside or the edge of your skin can burst. And when it bursts, you will sweat blood. But you got to be under some powerful distress for that to happen. But Jesus taught us in the garden. David taught us at the cave of Adullam. He says, watch this. Here's the thing about being squeezed. How many feel like you've been squeezed? Praise God. Sometimes I feel like I want to say, well, stop the press. Please stop the press. There's no oil without squeezing. There's no wine without pressing the grapes. There's no fragrance without crushing the flowers. And there's no real joy without sorrow. I see people every day that have an empty joy, an empty victory, an empty life. I talk to them and I can hear it in their voice. I can see it. It's because either when they were going through things, they backed off and didn't let God bring to fruition what he was trying to do, and or they've got a joy but have never known sorrow. They've got a fragrance, but it's a false fragrance because they've never been crushed. But the people I've met that have been pressed and crushed and no real sorrow, these are powerful, powerful people. Some of the greatest people I know have had some of the greatest tragedies. And remember, I read it to you a little while back, 90% of the world's leaders, the greatest leaders of the world, the top 100 leaders of the world throughout time, 90% of them had to overcome overwhelming odds to get where they were at. This stuff is not killing you. It's making you stronger. You just got to understand that. If you're going through the storm and the bottom is dropping out, consider strongly right now, this storm may be God's will for my life at this time. Not to destroy me, but to build me and to direct me. Number four. I've only got two more to go. Jesus taught them in the middle of their storm. I love this. The difference between school and life. In school, you're taught a lesson and given a test. In life, you're given a test, then it teaches you a lesson. I may have seen that one before, over and over in your life. In school, you're taught a lesson and given a test. In life, you're given a test that teaches you a lesson. You see, when God lets the bottom drop out in our life, there's always a reason. There's always a reason. He decided now that Jesus had their attention, he can talk to them. Remember when he was praying for Peter? He said, you're going to deny me that you know me. Five times he said, Peter, or Simon, Simon! That meant he couldn't even get Simon's attention. And he didn't call him Peter, he called him Simon. He'd been calling him Peter all the way up to this point. Now he calls him Simon. Why does he call him Simon? Because Peter is the name he gave him, which means rock or a piece of the rock. Simon, which is his given name, means a reed. The rock is not easily shaken. The reed goes back and forth in the wind. And he says, here you are talking like you're a rock. I'm ready to die for you, God. I won't let it down. I'm not going to let it go. You can trust me. And Jesus had to get him in the middle of his talking and say, hold on, Simon, Mr. Reed. You're going to shake, rattle, and roll in just a couple hours. Wow. So, here, Jesus teaches them. He says, come. Then Peter gets out down in the boat, walks on the water, comes to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. This is a picture I love. This is a picture of divine love and divine power meeting human need. And then finally, DC, get ready. And finally, number five. I told you I was trying to keep it short. You see, I had it. Look, watch this. Peter's sunk. The bottom dropped out. He's coming back up. Okay, you had to be there. All right. Number five. Ooh, get back up there. Come on up. That's what some of us are doing. But get up and go back down. Get up and go back down. All right. Jesus halted the storm. Watch this. He halted the storm first after he sent them. Number two, after he prayed for them. Then after he came to them. And after he taught them. Think about what you're going through right now. Has Jesus come to you yet? Have you learned a lesson yet? Has God actually showed up and he said, okay, now I understand God. Now it makes sense. How many's ever been in a trial and all of a sudden you go, now that makes sense? Or years later you think about that trial and go, oh, that's why. Now I understand what you were teaching me, God. The Bible says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and called him. Ye of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed in the boat, the wind died. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Matter of fact, Jesus halted two storms that day. Outside, he stopped the weather. But inside, he stopped the storm and the disciples. One thing I've learned, and I keep learning it, and learning it, and learning it, and learning it, is we have no need to fear. Because when the bottom drops out, every time I've noticed this, when the bottom drops out, Jesus stands up. When the bottom drops out, Jesus stands up. I think about Stephen. Y'all all stand. I think about Stephen. Stephen's being stoned. He's the first Christian martyr. Stephen's being stoned. And he's showing Christ to them. He's showing them Christ and everything he's doing while he's being stoned. He prays for the people. And the Bible says, one of the last things he says is, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. You say, well, isn't that kind of a misquote of Scripture? Because the Scripture says that when Jesus ascended, he sat down at the Father's right hand. There's no misuse of Scripture. When he's sitting at the Father's right hand, that means he's already done all the work. The high priest doesn't have to continually work in the temple. The work of salvation is done. He's seated at the Father's right hand. But when you see Jesus standing up, it means now Jesus is interceding. Work of redemption, taken care of. But he intercedes for us all the time. Standing at the Father's right hand. Some of y'all right now, if you could get it in your head and in your heart, in your spirit, that when your bottom drops out, don't be afraid. Because Jesus is standing, waiting to help you. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I just want to ask. Is anybody here, but just, you don't have to even hold it up. You can just push it up and put it back down. But is anybody here that would put up that hand and say, Pastor, the bottom has pure dropped out in my life or in my family member's life or in my family life, whatever. The bottom has sure dropped out. And I'm really needing Jesus to walk out on this water and bring peace. Am I talking to you today? Is there somebody here who can say, yes, Pastor, The bottom has dropped out. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. The bottom dropping out does not mean that Jesus don't know where you're at. Jesus sent them there. The bottom dropping out does not mean that Jesus is being silent. Jesus is praying for them and you where you're at now. Jesus came to them, and I'm pretty sure if you'll think about it, there's many times he's come to you, including today. His Holy Spirit, not me, his Holy Spirit has ministered to your heart and you felt some comfort. Instead of asking God why he allowed this, ask him, what lesson am I to learn? What lesson, Father, are you allowing to be brought to me this hour? If you'll let me know this lesson, I can put it in my mind and I can etch it into stone and learn. But know this, also there's coming a day when he's going to step out and say, peace, be still. And it's all going to stop. Lord, touch everybody to raise their hands. Lord, those that wanted to raise their hands and didn't, those I couldn't see, they raised their hands. Bless them right now. Hands went up all over this place. Lord, touch them. Let them feel your peace. Let them feel your power. Let them feel your promotion in their life as they begin to see and know and understand there's a purpose behind every storm. If you allow it, there's a purpose. God, help us to find that purpose so that we can stand strong with you. Lord, you're awesome. You're powerful. You got this. I want everybody one time to say this with me. I will not fear. Say it. For God has got this. And he's got me. I trust him. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you need to come up and pray for anything, whatever. You want to pray for anything, come on up and pray. You got something else you want to pray about. You just want to thank God. You need a touch in your body or somebody else you know needs a touch. Come on up. Don't delay. Come on. We got some more time. We'll stay with you as long as you need it. God is doing something special in all of our lives. You just got to trust him. You got to trust him. You got to trust him. You got to trust him. God's got this. He's got us. God knew about this storm. It didn't surprise him. It did not surprise him. When the bottom drops out, Jesus steps up. Ask Simon. Ask Stephen. Ask Daniel in the lion's den. Ask Moses at the Red Sea. Ask the three Hebrew boys when they stood before the fire. When the bottom drops out, Jesus stands up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Come on back Tuesday night. Bethany asked me a question Tuesday night. She said, Daddy, how can I know God's purpose for my life? That was a great question, Bethany, a tremendous question. Matter of fact, it was such a great question, when I went home, I started working on it. And the next morning, I worked on it some more. When she got up, I went ahead and give her a rough outline of some of the stuff. And I said, here, I want you to look at it, but I'll start teaching this Tuesday night. It's, of course, it's still stopped the bleeding, but it's, how do I find God's purpose in my life? So, son, this Tuesday night, if you want to find out how to find God's purpose in your life, come on out, and I'll maybe try to do some preaching about around it too on Sunday mornings, but Tuesday night, how to find God's purpose in my life. Amen? God's awesome all the time.
Heavenly Father, we just come to you. Thank you, dear Lord, for all the blessings. You've been so great to give each and every one of us here. And go with us, Lord, to guard our direction and all things we do for you. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.